Our scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 14. It says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now, we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. This is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come, I may not be harsh in my use of authority, the authority that the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." A story is told of a little girl who is drawing a picture. Her mother went up to her and said, "What are you drawing?" She said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." Well, the mother was shocked and sat there for a second and said, "Well, honey, that's impossible. No one really knows what God looks like." She said, "Well, they will when I'm finished." So that, in a sense, that's what religion and theology, it's all about. We're trying to understand what God is really like without ever seeing God. And one of the most particular, most defining, and I believe one of the most confusing ideas, one of the most confusing doctrines there is about God, is the Trinity. John Wesley, he once said about the Trinity, "Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and I will show you a man that can comprehend the Trinity God." And I think that's right. The Trinity is something no one really understands. It's such a simple idea, but it's so complicated at the same time. But through that, we cannot simply just dismiss it and say, "Oh, the Trinity's the Trinity, and that's it. There's nothing to think about. There's nothing to discuss about it. There's nothing to look at." And I think that's a wrong approach to it. I believe just because it's hard to think about, just because it's pretty confusing, and the Bible alludes to it a little bit, but doesn't really explain it, that doesn't mean it's not worth our exploration. I believe we should be looking into the Trinity, talking about it, discussing it, trying to figure out the truth behind it, what it really looks like. Though that may be impossible, who knows? But we should always try. The Trinity, it's not just God simply changing roles like an actor in a play. It can be seen that way, but I don't believe that's exactly what it is. And like I said, there's no denying that it's confusing, trying to understand it. And there's many questions out there about the Trinity. You have, how can the God be three in one at the same time? Who should we pray to? That's a pretty popular one. Is Jesus less than the Father in terms of his status? And if not, why did Jesus say that the Father was greater than him? And is the Holy Spirit kind of like God in a motherly form? And then God's in a father form, and then you have the Son. Is that how it works, or what is it? And to tell you the truth, I don't have the answers to that. I can tell you what I believe all day. Is it true? I don't know. So that's why I believe we should explore it. We should learn it for ourselves and discuss it and formulate our own explanation of it. Now, these questions, they're great to ask. They're great in your exploration of the Trinity. But the problem arises when you look at these and see that there's many different answers, and they all have their truths behind them, and you say, well, that it doesn't matter, actually. The Trinity is the Trinity, and to explore it, it messes up your faith. It makes you think, it's too complicated. It messes with me. It's a hindrance and an obstacle to my faith. That's when the problems arise. Or when what matters to you is that you understand that God is about love, which is it's great, and you're sincere about that, but you never want to explore further into that. And I believe another problem is right there. So that may be some of us today and some of us out in the world that the Trinity, it doesn't feel as important. It's important, and we all realize, but it's not as important as it should be. It doesn't take a front seat in our explanation of God. To explore the Trinity is to explore what God is, who God is, and how He works. So I believe the Trinity is something that we should always explore. And we should not reject it just because it's difficult. Indeed, we're called to worship God with all of us. Not just our mouths, not just our hearts, but with our minds too. To explore issues that we find, different opinions, and to formulate what we believe. That's sort of what John Wesley was pushing for when he started the Methodist Church, was this intellectual movement, this heartfelt movement combined to explore what we really believe, but to also worship with all of our hearts in those beliefs. And the Trinity, like I said, it's important because it's our image of God. And our image of God, it determines what our faith will look like. What our faith looks like is how we see God. Do we see God as loving? So we will be loving. Do we see God as strict? Then we will be strict in our faith. So how we see God is how our faith will be formed. So today, I'm not going to try to tell you exactly how the Trinity works. I'm not going to try to tell you, here's the five steps to the Trinity and how God formulates it and how He thinks. To do that, I would be leading you down a wrong path. Today, I want to show you that it's important to think of these, and I want to show you three errors in how we think of the Trinity. Now, I believe there's many different views of it, and each has its own truth, but I believe these errors ruin the idea of the Trinity. The first one is a spirit-only approach to God. A spirit-only approach is when you think, well, there's God, there's Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, that's all that matters. That's all we should focus on. And this idea has promoted very great movements in the modern church, very big and amazing. And these movements, they have done good for the church. They have brought back, which was forgotten from the days of the early church, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the emphasis of the baptism of the Spirit, not just baptism of the waters, of the Spirit as well. But when we focus on the Holy Spirit too much, or only on the Holy Spirit, it's dangerous. It's a road you don't want to go down. When we think of that, we forget the Father and we forget the Son. And those are two key elements in the Trinity. This forms a lopsided form of Christianity that can throw us into just all emotion and no thought. We lose order. We lose a path. We just focus on the emotion, that heartfelt emotion, which is great. But it's not great when it's all you have. So to do that, we become all about feeling, and we become confused. Someone once described the Spirit, described it as the shy member of the Trinity, meaning that the Spirit doesn't draw attention to Himself. The Spirit brings Jesus into focus. That's what the Spirit came down to do, was to say, look at Jesus. Look at Him living. Look at His life, and let Him live through you. And a solid Trinity approach to looking at God, it'll avoid this the spirit-only look at things. It'll avoid this all emotion without thought, this only Spirit without the Father and the Son. The second one, and hear me out before you get angry, is the Jesus-only approach. I don't mean that to say that Jesus is not important. Jesus is the center of Christianity. That's what 99% of the New Testament is about, is the Jesus and how He connects to the church. So I'm not saying He's not important. I'm not saying he has this certain emphasis to him. He does. But to put all of our attention on Jesus only is to forget the Father and the Holy Spirit. This group of people that do Jesus only, all they think about is my personal Savior and Jesus and me. That's all that matters, is that relationship with Jesus, which is very important, but it's not the only thing that matters. It's often said that people, they relate God to Jesus. They say, when I think of God, I see Jesus. I see the pictures of Jesus, and I think, that's what God looks like. That's how I see God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you do that too much, you see Jesus more of a human only. He loses his sense of divinity through God, through the Holy Spirit. And that divinity is central to the mission of Jesus. Without that divinity, the death doesn't mean as much. It's just another human on a cross, another great man that died for a wrong reason. That divinity, through the Father and through the Holy Spirit, they bring that out in him. So the Jesus-only approach, it's not the way it should be. You should focus on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. In John 12:49, Jesus says, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to see it." And like I said, it's Jesus. He's the central focus of Christianity. And he should be. But he shouldn't be the only focus. We should see the Father and the Holy Spirit. And through that, Jesus is seen in his fullness. Without that, he's just another great man. The last error in looking at the Trinity is the God-only look. This is more of maybe an older, a traditional church, more of a structure, really focused on order, order, order. This is how it is every single time, and there's nothing else. And again, looking at the God the Father is not bad. But looking at only him, without the Son and without the Holy Spirit, is not doing the justice that God deserves. God becomes, he becomes impersonal. He becomes far removed from us. He becomes a God that sits in the clouds and looks through a screen at earth and watches us, but never gets involved. Every now and then he will tinker with a few things, but he's not active in our lives. And to think that way is to kick out the humanity of God when we receive Jesus. We see the personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's what God is really like. He's not some guy with a big white beard who sits there and looks at you all day and says, "That's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong." But through Jesus, he has a connection with you, and through the Holy Spirit that lives on today. So I hope you understand that this Trinity doctrine is not just something we should blow off and think, well, there's three and there's one, and that's just the way it is. That's the end of it. But there's more to it. It may be beyond our complete understanding. We'll never understand it completely. But that doesn't mean our faith won't be rounded about by it. It'll grow us in faith to explore the Trinity, to discuss it with each other, and it'll allow us to see a fuller picture of who God really is, and that'll help shape our faith. Without the Trinity, we end up worshiping a one-dimensional God instead of a true and living community of God that has been revealed to us. God, through the Trinity, he is one, but he is also three. He exists in a community. Not like a bunch of gods who sit together and argue like in other religions, but the Trinity that is constant is powerful in its community. It's not the Old Testament God versus the New Testament God. It's not Jesus versus God for our sins. It's a community working together in one for us, to us. A community that is the heart of God. And that's exciting and encouraging That's how we as humans live as well. We are a people of community. We have the church, a church community that works together. We are each individuals. We are each separate families. But we come together and become one in worship, just the same way the Trinity is with God. God is a community God, a God of the community. The Holy Spirit will lead us to Christ, and Christ will lead us to the Spirit. The Spirit will lead us to the Father, and the Father to the Son. It all works together in some mystical, magical way that is worth our exploration. And like I said, I don't understand it all. Nobody understands it all. I just got a 4-year degree in religion, and all I know is this, that the Trinity is real, and that it's worth further exploration. It's 3 in 1, 1 in 3. 4 years with these academic people who have doctorate degrees in religion. And that is what I learned. No one understands it all. They can give you bits and pieces. But you need to formulate it yourself through this exploration. St. Augustine, he was an intellectual giant in the first century. In the early church, he was the guy to go to. He helped shape doctrine that we still use today. One day, he didn't know about the Trinity either. He was walking along the beach thinking about it. He was puzzled. It didn't make sense how this all worked together. And as he was walking, he saw a boy digging in the sand with a seashell. Augustine, he watched, puzzled, while the lad began to run to the ocean. He'd fill up a seashell with water, run back and pour it in the hole. So he walked up and asked the guy. He said, "What are you doing? Or are you bringing the ocean to your hole?" He said, "I'm trying to put the ocean, all the ocean, into this hole that I'm digging. I'm trying to move it. I'm trying to fit it all into one space." Then a peace came to Augustine as he realized what he had been trying to do when he was thinking about the Trinity. He was trying to fit the great mystery of God, the great mystery of faith, this Trinity, into his mind. And that's, we don't understand everything about the Trinity. We are shaped by it, though. It shapes our faith. And through our lens, through what we learn about it, through what we talk about it, it's how we see God. And I hope, just like Augustine, this peace and assurance will fill you, that as you gaze and wonder and worship with God, that you realize we don't know it all. We'll never know it all. But we should always try. We should always strive to learn as much as we can, to shape our faith in a way that God loves, in a way that we're meant to be. He is one God in three, and 3 in 1, now and forever. Amen. If you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us, and allow us all to gather here today. Lord, continue to be with us. Continue to give us wisdom and strength and a drive to always want to learn more about you, even when it's hard, even when no one has the answers, to always study and always learn and always strive to shape our faith in a way that's beneficial to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.